The Colts Daily Update podcast and the weekly Horseshoe FAQ podcast are now available on their own on iTunes and TuneIn. Search Colts Daily Update or Horseshoe FAQ and subscribe today.
Welcome to the Colts Daily Update on Colts.com.
Good Monday to you and welcome to the Colts Daily Update to begin a work week. Hope all is well. Thanks for joining in. I'm Matt Taylor and we are loaded up on the podcast as usual. We're going to talk up the draft in a little bit with Rob Rang from NFLDraftScout.com. He's one of the more trusted guys on the draft, so we'll visit with him in a few minutes. But first off, we want to welcome into the studio as well. Joining me now is John Simon, who just wrapped up his first year as a Colt. And John, good to see you. How you been?
Good to be back.
How was your offseason?
It was great. I was here most of the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Excited what they're doing with the facility here. Seen kind of the process from the beginning, so we're coming along.
Yeah, the process from the beginning. I mean, they were digging dirt. Like, you know, as soon as the season ended, they were digging up dirt, and they've made a tremendous amount of progress construction-wise around here.
Yeah, and it's moving along pretty good. I think it's going to mostly be done by the end of training camp, so yeah. I know the guys are looking forward to it.
Does it give you some extra juice personally to – I know you've been working out this entire time, but to be around guys, teammates working out as well, does that give you – does that fire you up a little bit more?
Yeah, to get the guys back in town is always great, and to see them again, you know, in the off season, we'll keep in touch a little bit, text here and there, but try to give guys their space, spend time with their families because they don't get a lot of that time once this starts back up.
Yeah. So late in the season last year, you went on IR. You were having a great year, but you banged up your shoulder a little bit. How are you feeling right now? Where are you health-wise?
Feel great. Good to go. Full participation, everything like that. So excited to get back on the field here in a couple weeks and just happy to be back with the teammates.
As you kind of reflect on your first season with the Colts here in Indianapolis, I mean, how do you think it went for you personally?
Well, I think, you know, we had a good foundation. A lot of guys were new and getting to know each other and all that. We talked about that chemistry we had to build before, and I think it's there now. Unfortunately for myself, I got injured pretty early in the season there and was struggling with that for a little bit. But as part of the game, that's how it happens, and happy to be back, healthy, and ready to go.
Well, you came over here last year as a free agent, and now going through another offseason, there's a completely different coaching staff, a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator, a new scheme. Has any of that been tough for you personally to go through a new scenario for the second year in a row?
I mean, there's challenges, obviously, but I think it's always easier when you have the same guys in the room. So yeah, coming in and learning everyone a bunch of new faces when you come into a team is one of the hardest things, and trying to memorize guys' names and just get to know them. Now that I have that relationship with the guys, you know, talking ball is a lot of fun, and getting down to the nitty-gritty of the playbook and everything like that, you know, that's not as challenging as some might think.
Yeah. So with Matt Eberflus now as the defensive coordinator, what are your thoughts on him and your early impressions of the 4-3?
I think it's great. I think it'll be good for us. I think we've got a lot of guys who fit that scheme well, and looking forward to seeing how it develops for us.
Has he given you any idea of where he might use you? Because you are a very flexible, versatile piece out there.
Yeah, wherever they want me. That's kind of my thing, and that's how I've been able to stick around, is I can do a little bit of everything and whatever the team needs. So wherever they want me to be, I'll be.
So, that's a very healthy mindset to have. But like I said, a very flexible guy in terms of what you can do from a skill set standpoint. Do you have anything out there that you prefer to preference one spot over another going forward?
No, as long as we're winning games. That's why I came here, because the Colts have won games and they know how to win games. So unfortunately last year didn't go the way we wanted to, but we're trying to get back on track.
You know, like you said, a lot of personnel, individual guys are back this year, mm-hmm, that were here last year. How much are you guys looking forward to a breath of fresh air, a new defensive coordinator, a new scheme collectively, so you guys can prove that you're better than the results that you showed last year?
Yeah, last year didn't go the way anybody wanted to. And it was a tough year, and I was proud of the guys, how we fought every game, even though the record wasn't showing up the way we wanted it to. And that says a lot about the group of guys we got here, and it shows that, you know, we're here to work and we're here to put in the time, and I think it'll pay off this year.
Another guy that's a holdover, Robert Mathis. He's now still an assistant coach on this new staff. Do you continue to learn from him and just enjoy his presence and what he can add to your game by just being around him?
Yeah, I think you'd be dumb not to learn from him. He's one of the best who have ever done it. And to have him, you know, are in the building day in and day out, and that's someone you could pick his brain a little bit and see how he played the game or what he thought in certain situations. That's something very vital that we have to utilize.
You know, you've been around a while, but there's so much youth and so much potential on this defense going forward, especially in the back end, but a lot of young guys up front as well. This season, do you take on more of a vocal leadership role, or is that something that just kind of has to happen organically on its own?
Well, I think you have to lead by example first, and I tried to do that early last year and let them know that I was here to work. And I think you could ask most of them. I was pretty vocal last year, and you know, I try to not to do it just because I don't do it in front of the cameras and things like that. But we got some young guys who need pushing, and we got some young guys who are in the right direction, and that's just part of the game. And you know, you sort those things out as you go.
Are there a few things that you're prioritizing this offseason where you want to hone in on and get better going into 2018?
Yeah, just continuing to stay healthy and making sure that I am healthy and just really getting this new playbook down. There's going to be a lot of changes going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. And,
yeah.
And you know, that's the same thing for everybody. You know, staying healthy and knowing the playbook are two of the most important things you can do.
Well, before I let you go, I mean, I got to ask you about the division. I mean, as you look at the AFC South right now, several teams. I mean, two teams made the playoffs. Jacksonville looks like they're here to stay for the foreseeable future. Those teams made some aggressive moves in free agency in the offseason. When you look at those teams and what they're doing, does that give you some motivation in the offseason to close the gap a little bit, to get back to the playoffs in 2018 after missing 3 years in a row?
Yeah, our goal is to win the division, and it went from a struggling division to probably one of the best divisions, if not the best division in the NFL. So we got our hands full right now, and we're excited for it. You wouldn't want it any other way, going against some of the best competition. And, you know, it's a tough conference. It's a power conference. Looking forward to it and seeing how it plays out.
Indeed. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it. And best of luck this spring. Stay healthy.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. John Simon right there, Colts linebacker, maybe defensive end, versatile chip on the Colts defense for next season. He's smiling back at me as he walks out of the studio on that last comment. But it's true. I mean, you can sense the hunger in his voice and the willingness to do anything to help the team. And he's certainly one of the more versatile guys the Colts have on that side of the ball, and a good candidate to possibly move around a little bit between that third linebacker spot and defensive end. And the more you can do, the better, right? And John Simon could potentially be on the field a lot for the Colts next season in a few different roles. All right, let's switch gears a little bit, talk up the draft, and welcome in Rob Ring, NFL draft analyst from NFLDraftScout.com. He's been covering the draft for almost 20 years now. And Rob, we just got done talking with John Simon, a guy that could possibly add some pass rush for the Colts next season. And another guy that could possibly do that is Bradley Chubb if he falls to 6. Overall in this draft, how much of a drop is there between Chubb and the rest of the pass rushers?
Well, I think there's a significant drop-off after Bradley Chubb. I mean, in my opinion, this defensive end class, the reason why it's passable is because of Chubb. Everybody else, the first-round mix of pass rushers has some significant question marks, whether it be Harold Landry or Marcus Davenport or any other pass rushers you're going to see come off the board a little bit later. Bradley Chubb, in terms of his size, his strength, his athletic, his technique, all of those traits are what are going to make him be very successful. I think he's an absolute slam dunk top 6 selection, and I think he's going to come in and make an immediate impact in the NFL, and I believe he has future Pro Bowls, you know, as an edge rusher in the NFL.
Do you think he'll be there at 6 when the Colts pick?
I have a hard time believing that the best pass rusher in a draft class, as weak as this one is at the position overall, is still going to be available at number 6. That said, you know, if we see all these quarterbacks come off the board, that certainly helps the Colts' chances.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are hoping for. Last we talked at the Combine, you didn't think the Giants were going to pick a quarterback. Do you still feel that way at number 2?
I'm not so sure of that. You know, now I still believe that the basically Dave Gettleman, the general manager there, is going to do everything he possibly can to drum up interest. I think that the things are working out very well in his favor in that regard. Just that, you know, it's the nature of the beast that teams are going to be that much more aggressive on draft day to get one of those quarterbacks. I think the Giants could select a young quarterback, obviously, behind Eli Manning. They also could auction off that number 2 overall pick to another club who's looking to get a quarterback. So I think that Bradley Chubb would make a lot of sense for the New York Giants because he's a terrific football player. But Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, would make a lot of sense as well. So that's the thing. I mean, the Colts, I think, are in an advantageous position because obviously they got the 3 second-round selections from the Jets, only moving down a couple of spots, and they're still going to be able to get one of the truly elite players in this draft class. In my opinion, there is an elite six, the 3 quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and then Bradley Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, I read that piece on your website. That was really good stuff. You brought up the spectacular six is how you termed them. Is that a spectacular – is that number, is that high compared to most years, or is that spectacular number lower most years?
Well, I think it's about average. I mean, where you have really the elite players. I mean, you have some other guys in this year's draft class that, have that kind of upside. They just haven't been able to be as productive and consistently as these other six players have, in my opinion. I mean, Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming, of course, has the high upside. And so some would argue that maybe he doesn't deserve to be in that mix. Maybe it should be a Baker Mayfield or, players like that. But at the same time, I mean, I do believe that Josh Allen's going to go that high. And, when you look at this year's draft back, it really is the quarterbacks that make it such an exceptional group. And one of the reasons why the Colts, again, are such a great position because they already have their great quarterback. And so they'll be able to take advantage of other teams' needs and still be able to get one of the best position players in the draft despite dropping down a couple of spots.
Rob, you brought up Saquon Barkley possibly going number two overall. With the success of Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara the last few years, I mean, is that going to hurt Barkley's chances of going really high in the first round, or is he just too good to pass up by a team in the top 10 that doesn't need a quarterback, and that's just me overthinking how good he really is?
Well, no, I think it's an excellent point. I mean, because there have been so many running backs in recent years in the middle rounds that have had success. And this year's running back class is, again, a very, very good one. And so I do believe that there are going to be some players this year that are going to be selected in the third, fourth rounds, and they're going to wind up being very successful. That said, similar to what we talked about before with Bradley Chubb and the rest of the defensive ends, that's the way it is with Saquon Barkley and the rest of the running backs. He is just heads and shoulders above everybody else, and it comes down to not only speed and power and all those things, but especially in today's NFL where you're usually asking running backs to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, no one has better hands out of the backfield than Saquon Barkley. He is truly a three-down back, and that's why he's going to wind up being a top-six selection. I think he's going to be another one of these future Pro Bowl players.
Hey, Rob, what's the likelihood that the Bills are going to trade up to the top five, and what do you think they'd have to give up in order to do so?
Well, we saw the Jets had to do, so I just to start off the conversation, I think you're certainly going to be having to use both of those first-round selections that they've acquired, as well as perhaps a future first-round selection if they're going to be moving up into the top five, which is obviously a lot to move up. But to me, what's interesting about the Bills is that I've been kind of pounding the table. Okay, this is a club that is looking to get the young quarterback, but they trade Tyler Taylor to the Cleveland Browns and made the selection of made the decision to trade Cordy Glenn to obviously get that second first round selection. And I'm just like, okay, the Bills are going to make that bold move. That said, though, this is the trade of Cordy Glenn, their left tackle, and then the retirement of of the guard. Richie Incognito, as well as the center, Eric Wood. And now Buffalo has a lot of holes along that offensive line. So while I certainly acknowledge the possibility the Bills are going to go up and get a quarterback, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I also worry about the safety of that young man because he'd be playing behind a pretty inexperienced offensive line now.
All right, so what if they want to trade up with the Colts? Would you like that move if you were a Colts fan, or would you like to see them still get a premium player and stay at six?
Well, I think you can get a premium player at number six overall, and we talked about that. Those spectacular six. I mean, I certainly value the ability to get any one of those players. You can make an argument that whether it be a Bradley Chubb or a Saquon Barkley or Quentin Nelson, all of them play positions of concern for the Colts, in my opinion. And to be able to have a potential Pro Bowler out of this year's class makes a lot of sense. That said, I also believe that the value in this year's draft class is on day two. So if you are able to acquire a number of picks in the first, second, and third rounds, then that makes a lot of sense as well. And because Buffalo does have as many selections as they do, then I think that, and the Colts are obviously already going to be getting back one of their superstars in Andrew Luck, then they're, you know, Chris Ballard, in my opinion, is essentially is holding all the cards in the deck at this point. He has put himself in a position to really take best advantage of what happens in those first five selections right ahead of him.
Would you have any issue with the Colts picking a guard in Quentin Nelson at six? I've got no problem with it. I think he's as good as everybody says that he is, but some say, you know, you just can't draft a guard that high out of principle.
I disagree with that. I mean, me too. Yeah, Quentin Nelson is just a different level. I mean, again, we talked about, we made the same comparison before with Bradley Chubb and the other defensive ends and Saquon Barkley and the running backs. I think that you can draft a very good guard in the top 10 in today's modern NFL because we're seeing so many defensive linemen and their ability to have, to create interior pressure and more exotic blitzes where you're doing twists and stunts and delayed blitzes, linebackers coming up the middle. That really is how you stop quarterbacks in today's NFL. It's not just those edge rushers anymore. And so I think that guards are more critical in today's NFL than they ever were before. And obviously, when you have a quarterback who is coming off the injury that Andrew Luck is, you have a quarterback in Andrew Luck who is at his best when he is stepping up into the pocket and keeping his eyes downfield, then I think it makes that much more sense. And of course, Chris Ballard, they want to make the Colts into a very physical team, a team that can run the ball right down your throat. There is no one in this draft class, offensive tackle or offensive guard, that can get out, pull, and just pulverize defenders the way that Quentin Nelson does. So I think the Colts would hit a home run if they were able to get Quentin Nelson number six overall, if he's still on the board.
Pulverize. Man, I like that word. That's nice. That's a nice little adjective to describe him. I haven't heard that one yet. I might steal that if you don't mind. Pulverize.
Enough? Feel free to do so.
I'll take all the help I can get there, Rob. So we know the Colts have a lot of areas of need. They need help in really no particular order at linebacker, receiver, offensive line, and running back, to name a few. In your opinion, what might be the best position to draft in the second and third rounds because they're just not deep enough on day three?
Well, I look at running back as being one of the positions that is going to be just so extraordinary on the value of them in day two. And just how many I expect to be there. The Nick Chubbs, the Sony Michels, the Ronald Jones, the Kerryon Johnsons of the world. I think those are all players who I think that kind of fit that prototype that we talked about before about the Kareem Hunts and the Alvin Kamaras. I think that you're going to see a team is going to be able to duplicate that kind of success that the Chiefs and Saints respectively had with those young players a year ago. So that would definitely be a position that I think is very strong on day two. I would make the same argument with the interior of the offensive line. There's going to be a number of good guards and centers available that makes some sense in those spots. Billy Price from Ohio State was essentially a first-round lock, at least in my opinion, and the scouts I've been speaking to. But, you know, with that partially torn pectoral muscle, now if he's available on day two, you might be able to get a player that's slightly damaged goods, likely to be back by training camp next season, and you're able to get him, in the second or third round rather than the first round, then obviously that is something that's going to be very intriguing. And then wide receiver as well. While not necessarily the biggest concern for the Colts, at least in my opinion, it is an area of concern. And I think that we talk so much about the wide receivers that may go in the first round this year, the Calvin Ridley's or the Courtney Sutherland's or the DJ Moore's of the world, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and that really is where the value is. I'd much rather be drafting a wide receiver on day two than a wide receiver in round one, especially in this draft class.
All right. Like I said, you've been doing this for a living for a long time now. When you get to this part of the calendar where we're less than 2 weeks away, does your head start to hurt? Would you just like to have it get here so we can stop talking about it and actually see what happens in this draft?
Well, there's certainly a part of me that's eager to get to the selection process and actually find out where these players are going to go rather than speculating. But at the same time, I enjoy the conversations. I enjoy the imagining this player in that team and all the surprises that wind up happening. So if you love the draft as much as I do, and just the idea of young people being able to accomplish their dreams. Then this is it's April, but it feels like Christmas for me.
Hey, what are you writing about these days before I let you go?
Well, the biggest thing is going to be an update on the mock draft. You know, and my own personal big board, my own top 100 prospects in this year's draft class, and as well as just all the latest buzz. The latest buzz we have right now, NFLDraftScout.com, that's just the talk that Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph are the quarterbacks right now who have a lot of buzz about them, and they're going to go a lot higher than people think. And Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, the other Heisman Trophy winner, unfortunately, he's falling down the board right now. So, you know, that's you know how it goes. In the last couple of weeks before the draft, there's still going to be some player movement. And so we're keeping our ears down and trying to talk to people to figure out exactly what's going to happen in the first round this year's draft.
All right. That's Rob Rang, senior analyst at NFLDraftScout.com. You can follow his great work on Twitter, at Rob Rang on Twitter. Rob, thanks for the time, as always. Thanks for squeezing us in, and best of luck between now and draft night.
I certainly appreciate it. I'll try not to pulverize anybody on my way out.
Attaboy. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
I'm serious about that. I'm going to steal that word, pulverize, to describe Quentin Nelson. I think that's spot on, and Rob is usually pretty spot on with the draft, so it's good to talk to him a few times every offseason leading up to the big weekend in late April. But that's it for today on the Daily Update. And again, we're hoping to chat with more players on the big show tomorrow, so come back for that. Again, I'm Matt Taylor, and we'll talk to you on a Tuesday. Thanks for dropping in on the Colts Daily Update.